maybe we can start by asking you, how have you been enjoying the Empire Big Screen weekend so far?
Very. I mean, I'm here since what was it, like 11 o'clock, and I did only my stuff, so I couldn't see anything else. You know, my event, so.
And talking about your film, Anonymous, that's brought you here, and you've been sharing a little bit with fans tonight, perhaps you can tell us a little bit about what the film's all about and what inspired it.
Well, Anonymous is about the authorship question, that like Shakespeare didn't write his plays, and it's something, a theory I believe in and share with a lot of many other famous writers and actors, and movie is mainly like kind of a political thriller during the Elizabethan age.
Do you think this film represents a bit of a departure for you? It's a period piece, and it's based on very much real events as opposed to something a bit more fantastical.
Well, it's definitely a departure, you know. And I always like kind of say, you know, when you like make these big movies, you know, you sometimes lose a little bit the connection to real filmmaking, and I just was craving that. And I found like 9 years ago this terrific script and with this amazing idea, and I like got into it and nearly obsessed about it, and really happy that I finally did it.
Can I ask why it's taken so long for you to bring it to screen for you?
Well, there was always like other projects too, but like once I did like a failed attempt, you know, like kind of 5-6 years ago, where we went actually to England and tried to do it here, and it just like kind of didn't pan out, you know, it got more and more expensive, we couldn't get the cast we wanted, and then we like kind of just stopped again. And then they did like one or two other movies, and then after 2012, you know, because in 2012, I had to kind of shoot the whole world, pretty much all in Vancouver. And I realized all of a sudden, you know, how far, you know, like kind of compositing, especially with when you shoot like in digital, had become. And I all of a sudden had this idea, you know, to do this technique for Anonymous, you know, which is normally not done for like a period drama, strangely. But it's actually the way how you can create anything, you know, with not so much money.
You mentioned 2012, and as you said earlier, you're known for some quite big blockbuster films, and Independence Day, which is a sort of disaster movie. Independence Day, which is a big. Do you think 2012, which is a big disaster movie? Do you think disaster movies are not as respected as they were in the day for, say, Poseidon Adventure or Tarantino, when
they
the
were
big names were queuing up to get in them?
They were actually then, you know, like kind of the really A-plus movies, you know. And yeah, I don't know what happened. But I'm not so terribly concerned about it, because I love these movies, you know, and I don't really care how they're perceived.
In
a
way. Thank you for saving the Queen's corgis, by the way, in 2012.
Exactly. You know, we're like kind of save the Queen's corgis. I mean, you can make these statements. You know, and that's why I love probably these movies the most, because you can make personal statements in a bigger canvas, you know. I mean, for example, I also used it, to get a political message across in Day After Tomorrow, which was a classic disaster movie, but in its heart, you know, it's a criticism on how we conduct our life and how we like treat our planet. And then, you know, what you can do as a filmmaker, you can get quite sarcastic, and you know, you have all of a sudden, you know, like an Americans illegally, you know, like getting into Mexico, and you know, and nobody can stop them, you know, which is a little bit like kind of the reverse, you know, from it's just I have fun doing these movies, you know. But I'm like kind of also like kind of want to do other stuff, and Anonymous is one of the things I do. I'm gonna do in my next movie, Singularities, was totally completely different again.
Taking the conversation back on top of Anonymous, what were the biggest challenges you faced doing a film on such a controversial subject?
Well, you know, it was like one of these movies, you know, where we already discussed a lot what we're doing, because we knew that it's a hotbed. And, you know, and that said, you know, the shooting itself, like, was fun and relaxed and super creative, because everybody was, like, kind of really in sync with one thing. They really loved the script. This was one of these movies where everybody loved the script. And so that's always a good kind of thing. And then, you know, what I learned about it is a little bit, you know, that I'm not like kind of worked in this movie like maybe 1.5 years or so. And this kind of like 1.5 years, I realized all of a sudden, you know, that the biggest enemy of like art is actually, you know, is like kind of that stubbornness from certain people who don't want to openly discuss something. They're like kind of... They don't even want to let you talk. They want to kind of just shut you down and not even like answering your questions, you know. So that's a little bit like what I'm, you know, not necessarily looking forward to. But I think there will be a lot of discussions, you know, like kind of about these films. And we will like really also embrace it. We do a university tour. We're going to the German book fair. We're like doing a lot of like kind of unusual things, you know, which normally don't do for movies.
Was there anybody who wouldn't cooperate with you because of the subject matter of the movies, of academics or research?
We had problems. You know, we wanted to hire a young theater director who is very versed in these matters, and we had a hard time finding somebody who, you know, wanted to do it, you know. And then we got really lucky because we found a young woman who was fearless, and she said she doesn't care. And she was like working before on the Globe, so she came with incredible credentials, and she did a fantastic job. But there were like a lot of directors when they read the script and they said, "No, I'm not working on this because it will like affect my career." Because in England, especially, you know, there is this like, you know, you get really like kind of the Stratfordians are not very happy about what's happening, because more and more they realize, you know, that they cannot sustain their position, you know, and especially a movie is really, really, you know, is very, very dangerous for them, because movies are very persuasive, and you know, and because of that, I think they're very afraid. Because don't forget, these professors, they sometimes wrote 2-3 books about William Shakespeare. When, you know, I'm like right and they're wrong, they're like whole life is like falls, you know, like together like a house of cards.
Are you ready to be denounced as a heretic then?
Well, they like call me that already, and they call me even worse, you know. Also, what like, you know, they like to say it's a conspiracy. I mean, it's also like even used in the advertisement, because conspiracy is like kind of this word everybody uses. But I don't like to use it really, because I think conspiracy is a little bit like kind of, it's a little nutty when you like a conspiracy, you know, feels a little bit like nutcase territory. But that's not nutcase territory at all. I'm always saying, you know, you don't want to call Sigmund Freud or Walt Whitman nutcases, because they were like amazing people.
Do you feel a bit like
two more questions, please?
Sure. Do you feel a bit like Darwin trying to push the theory of evolution?
Hmm?
Do you feel like a bit like Darwin?
Well, a little bit. You know, it's a little bit like you feel a little bit like that. You know, this. You know, and I'm always like kind of saying, you know, it's an uphill battle. You know, it's like kind of not won with one movie. You know, but I think it's a big step for the authorship question and. Just to give it also value, so make it valid, you know, because there's a lot of like kind of people say it should not be done at all, and I'm like saying, in what kind of society do we live where you cannot ask questions?
I mean, for you, what are the big pieces of evidence that make you believe that the conventional view of the authorship is perhaps inaccurate, and what effect do you think this film is going to have on an audience's perception of that debate?
Well, for me, the biggest thing are the facts, you know, what we know. A man who had, like, illegitimate parents, you know, illiterate parents, you know, had also illiterate daughters. That's a proven fact. And that's like hardly to understand, you know, a learned man who, you know, secondly, you know, in his will, you know, not one book. There's not one evidence in his lifetime where somebody referred to him, the writer in Stratford-on-Avon. And Stratford-on-Avon themselves had no idea there was a writer living under them. And, you know, and that's like kind of things, you know. And then, you know, from all the other writers, we find evidence of this time. And from the most famous writers, we cannot find any shred of paper or a letter or anything, you know, that, you know, he was a writer. The only thing what we have and what the Stratfordian, like, rests their case on is, like, after his death, which was, like, not commented by anybody, you know, after, like, kind of a couple of years, you know, when the first folio was, like, kind of published, that's when all of a sudden people were talking about the sweet, you know, Swan of Avon and all these things. And that's, like, kind of very, very strange. And then on top of it, you know, a lot of writers, you know, have a whole other view. They don't say, like, all this, like, kind of evidence or not evidence, it's, like, kind of doesn't matter because the philosophy and the work itself is like only about, you know, like kind of the upper class. It's from an upper class point of view. It's not that like kind of Shakespeare wrote, you know, like a lot of story about like a commoner who was looking from afar, you know, at the court and the nobleman. No, it was most of the time the point of kings and queens and princes and their identity crisis, you know, why they couldn't become king, you know, a lot about bastard children, you know, and all these things, which are totally, in a way, you know, when you, like, profile it, you know, it doesn't make sense that somebody like kind of William Shakespeare of Stratford wrote them. Also, people don't understand, William Shakespeare from Stratford was not even called Shakespeare. He was called Shakespeare. And was written in four or five different ways, in his own signatures. I mean, somebody should explain me that. okay, there's a guy who writes 36 plays, two epic poems, and like kind of tons of sonnets. And then the only thing what we have of this man is like six signatures with three different spellings. And not one is called Shakespeare. I mean, that's like, I mean, I don't know, and like, I'm always like, I'm looking actually forward to like ask this question on a podium to one of these Stratfordians, but most of the time they don't let you, like, they yell you down before that. Because you're sure they're like, you know, they're like afraid, they're totally, terribly afraid, because they know themselves, they have like not much evidence, and they devoted their whole life to this, like books where they were like doing all this invention. When you like, you know, it's another thing what you can do, you just read a normal, you know, orthodox signature, a book, you know, and only like kind of highlight could, should have, maybe had, most possibly had. It's all conjecture. It's all, there's no evidence.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.